great preacher, teacher, and evangelist Charles Spurgeon once said these words to a congregation: "I think that I may say to every person whom I am addressing, if you yourself are saved, the work is but half done until you are employed to bring others to Christ. You are as yet but half formed in the image of your Lord. You have not attained to the full development of the Christ life in you unless you have commenced in some feeble way to tell others of the grace of God. And I trust that you will find no rest to the sole of your foot till you have been the means of leading many to that blessed Savior who is your confidence and your hope." Do those words make you feel a tad uneasy? I mean, it means we have to share Jesus. We have to talk about Him to others. You know, one of the greatest errors the Christian makes is to think that once Jesus comes into their life and saves them, that all there's left to do is to enjoy all of God's benefits, His blessings, His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, His strength, His health, and then live a blessed life till Jesus takes us home. We've given it the name of prosperity gospel in our day and age. Prosperity gospel says you live for the blessings. You love God because He'll reward you in return. But Charles Spurgeon rightly tells us that you're only halfway there once Christ saves you. We have been saved and sanctified for a purpose. And that purpose is to not sit back and relax, saying heaven sure is going to be great someday, and it's not so bad right now either. God is good. Look how blessed I am. This Thursday is Ascension Day, 40 days after Easter. The final words that Jesus said to His disciples before He ascended are recorded in Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter, verses 18 to 20, where He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now notice Jesus didn't say to them, go and be disciples. He said, go and make disciples. You know, it's quite a challenge to be a disciple these days, isn't it? But it's still much easier to be a disciple than it is to make a disciple. In biblical times, to be a disciple meant that you came alongside of a rabbi and had a constant companionship with him. In fact, you were with him all the time. To be a disciple means that you left your previous life behind. A disciple had no agenda of their own but to be like the rabbi. It was a life commitment. So are you truly a disciple? Do you walk alongside of Jesus all the time? Does He walk with you? Is His agenda for your life your agenda for your life? Because we cannot make a disciple if we're not first living the life of a disciple. We wonder why our churches aren't growing in this country. But the point is, after we dedicate our life to Christ, we don't sit back and relax. He has a job, a calling for us, and that is to make disciples. To make disciples means that we too must invest significant time in the lives of others. We must walk beside others constantly and daily, teaching them and showing them how to love Jesus. That's why there's no better place to make disciples than in the home. That has not been happening as much as it should in our land today. I had a van full of kids on Good Friday. We shouldn't even have been in school on Good Friday, in my opinion, but we were. And I had a van full of kids, 9 kids. And all week we'd been doing trivia questions about Easter on the bus. And they got pieces of candy if they knew the right answer. You know, you have to bribe them sometimes. But I asked them on that Good Friday, how many of you are going to go worship Jesus on Sunday and thank him for the resurrection and for eternal life? And not one hand went up. It was sad. The family unit is disintegrating and morphing into things that God never had intended for it to be. It seems like the main goal in our culture these days is to get ahead of others, not walk beside them. Either keep up with or even surpass the Joneses, if at all possible. That's what life is all about in our world today. But Jesus and Charles Spurgeon tell us otherwise. There's a tendency to view everything to have been completed in the Easter story for the Christian. It is finished, Jesus said on the cross. Nothing left to be done. Which is true. There is nothing left to be done as far as your salvation is concerned. But again, God saved you for a purpose in this world as well as in the world to come. In the period of the 40 days after Easter, up until the time of his ascension, we're not just a resurrection postscript, kind of a winding down of the story of Jesus' life before he ascended back into heaven. Rather, the 40 days after Easter were 40 of the most important days on planet Earth, besides the 3 days of Good Friday to Easter. The 40 days after Easter are one of the bookends to the earthly ministry of Christ. What are bookends? Bookends are two heavy-duty things that rest at each end of a number of books, a number of stories, and they prop them up and hold them together. Without the bookends, things would tumble and fall apart and create chaos. There's no strength to hold things together. Keeping that in mind, let's examine the earthly ministry of Jesus. How did it begin? Do you remember? After his baptism, what did he do? He went out into the wilderness for 40 days. 40 days of heavy and excruciating spiritual testing while he was fasting and praying and dueling it out with the devil, putting him in his rightful position under his feet. These 40 days were designed to give Jesus spiritual strength for the 3 years ahead to accomplish his task for which the Father sent him into the world, to save us completely and totally through his life, death, and resurrection. 40 days. And now, how long is the post-resurrection time of Jesus on earth? The last days of his ministry till the time of his ascension. 40 days. Bookends. His ministry begins with 40 important days and ends with 40 important days. 40 days to prepare himself for ministry and 40 days to prepare his disciples for ministry. During the 40 days after his resurrection, before he ascends back to the Father, what has Jesus been doing? He's been making sure that his followers, his disciples, now understand their mission in the world. He leaves them with undeniable, convincing, empirical truth that he is who he told them he was, and that he was risen from the dead. He has defeated the grave, and that he now has a mission for them. Without these crucial 40 days after Easter, the mission of the church falls apart. Let's look at another set of bookends, this time in the lives of the disciples. In Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, Jesus calls his first disciples off of the water. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God, and he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. That's what a disciple does. That was their calling. They left everything and followed him. They were now being disciples of Jesus. And so now let's fast forward 3 years to the same setting, to the other bookend, only this time it was after the resurrection. John records in his gospel from the 21st chapter, "Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. 'I'm going out to fish,' Simon Peter told them. And they said, 'We'll go with you.' So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples, not realizing that it was Jesus, he called out to them, 'Friends, have you any fish?' 'No,' they answered. He said, 'Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some.' And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.' And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, 'It's the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish you've just caught.' So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." These are bookends in the lives of the disciples. If we were to keep reading in John, the conversation over breakfast on the seashore turned towards their mission in the world. "Do you love me, Peter? Then go feed my sheep." In the first miraculous catch of fish, Jesus called them to be disciples. And now after Easter, he again calls his disciples off of the water with an identical miracle, just as before, only this time it's to make disciples. These bookend encounters with Jesus helped hold the faith and the mission of the disciples together so that they had the courage to go to the ends of the earth and to preach the gospel and to make disciples. What's the point of it all? Don't just be half of a Christian today. Don't hold that good news in. Actually, if that good news is really in there and it's really burning in your heart, you're going to have no choice but to want to share it with others and to offer it with love and companionship to others. Oh, that God would give us a sense of urgency to share this good news with others, that Christ is risen from the dead, that other people, we have the ability to share such news that another person can live forever. I'll never forget the scene at the end of the 1993 movie of Schindler's List. Schindler's List is the true story of Oskar Schindler, who discovered a sense of desperation to save others. He was a German, and he was a very wealthy man. And one day he saw how the Jews were being treated. He learned about Auschwitz, and so he knew that he had to do something. And so he began to take his great wealth, and he used his wealth to bribe Nazi officials so that he could buy the Jewish people, protect the ones. He had all Jewish people then work in his factory. And that's how he saved them, by liquidating his wealth. And he just became very desperate for one more life. We're going to look at this video clip. It's a little bit hard to hear, but just to get a sense of, you know, what's going on. He had a desperation to see that other people were saved. My prayer today is that God would give us just half of that same desperation that Oskar Schindler felt in those days to save others. Saving a soul is even more important than saving an earthly life. But what about my bookend, you say? Where's my strengthening experience that's going to give me the boldness and the courage to go out into this world? He's right beside you and within you. It's called Pentecost, and we will celebrate it a couple weeks from now. Your bookend is called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You can lean on Him and lean into Him for strength. He will hold your story and your witness together so that others may be blessed. Don't be afraid to go. Don't be afraid to share. He will walk before you and behind you, beside you and watch over you. He will live within you and uphold you. Don't be half a Christian today. Pray for God's mercy to allow you to live the full Christian life. Amen.